Swatzel, everyone. My name is Peter Pieces, and I want to serve you forever as a priest dying very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for some services.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Future Priest Betsaya Hawkins, and I would like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's my privilege and honor to present to you the future priests and priestesses now entering the sanctuary. It is my privilege and honor to present to you the great future priest, Nebiah Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. The title of my speech today is Let No Man Deceive You. You can turn over to Genesis. Genesis 3, verse 1 through 5, it's on page 2. And it says, Now the serpent was more subtle and crafty than any beast of the field which Yahweh had made. And she said to the woman, Has Yahweh indeed said, You shall not eat of every tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, Yahweh has said, You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, or you will die. And the serpent said to the woman, You will not surely die, for he knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like gods, Elohim, knowing righteousness and evil. So we can see that Satan deceived Eve by telling her she didn't have to keep Yahweh's laws in order to live. Just like Pope Francis is deceiving the people by telling them they don't have to keep Yahweh's laws in order to have salvation. If you can also turn over to 1 Diaconon. First Diaconon 3, verse 4 and verse 7. It's on page 965. And it says, Whoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. And little children, let no man deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. So what is righteousness? If you can turn over to Deuteronomy 6, verse 25. It's on page 153. It's Deuteronomy 6, verse 25. And it says, And it will be our righteousness if we observe to do all of this law before Yahweh our Father as he has commanded us. So we can see that righteousness is the keeping of Yahweh's laws. Remember what it says in 2 Timaeus about these last days. Reading from 2 Timaeus, Second Timaeus 3, verse 13, saw page 938. And it says, But evil men and impostors will go worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The lying preachers try to tell you that the Savior did away with the laws. But is this true? So let's see what the Savior has to say. If you can turn to Matithia 5, verse 17. It's on page 731. And it says, Do not even think that I have come to destroy the laws or the prophets. I have not come to destroy them, but to establish them. So we can see the Savior himself has to keep the laws of Yahweh. The Catholic Church, along with all her daughter religions, preach deception by telling you all will be fine no matter what you do. But look at the news, and you will see all the sickness, death, misery, fighting, and wars, and it's brought to the world by not keeping the laws of Yahweh. Remember what it says in Isaiah? Isaiah 24, verse 5 through 6. If you can turn over to Isaiah. It's on Isaiah 24, verse 5 through 6. It's on page 544. So Isaiah 24, verse 5 through 6. And it says, "The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants of it, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinances, and broken the everlasting covenant. Because of this, the curse has devoured the earth, and they who dwell therein are desolate. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left." For my last scripture, turn to Jacob. Jacob 1, verse 21 through 22, it's on page 953. Jacob 1, verse 21 through 22, and it says, "Therefore, put away all filthiness and the superabundance of wickedness, and receive with meekness, humility, the written law, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the law, not just hearers only, deceiving your own selves." So remember, let no man, woman, or pope deceive you. Tether yourself to the chosen branch, Yeshua Hawkins. Do what he teaches, and you won't be deceived. And if you all stand, I'll turn it over to future priest Yeshua for prayer.
Our first speaker, the great deacon Israel Abil.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title of my sermon today is Protection. How do we get it? And where do we get it from? Now, protection is only offered here at the house of Yahweh. And although great suffering, sorrow, destruction, and disease epidemics are going to continue to increase upon the world, Yahweh promises that there is a group of people who are protected. And this group of people will dwell safely under the shadow of the Almighty. If you'll turn over to Psalms 91, and let's start with verse 1. It says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And we've heard many times through the teachings of the house of Yahweh that this is talking about here at Abel, the house of Yahweh. Let's go up to verse 3, and it says, "Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings will you trust. His truth will be your shield and buckler. You will not be afraid of the terror of night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 will fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you." So, the shadow of protection there. We are protected from the diseases, the sicknesses. It will not come near you. Even the deadly viruses, the small microbes, the viruses, these things will not come near you if you are obedient to Yahweh's laws, you keep all of Yahweh's laws, and you call upon him with his name. So we show Yahweh when we love him, when we call upon his name and not call him with the names of any of the gods. We must keep his laws perfectly in order to say that we love him. And when we keep Yahweh's laws perfectly, then his protection is upon us. Yahweh's laws have the power and strength to turn the heart of the people to righteousness. And righteousness is the keeping of the 613 laws. And if you'll turn over to Deuteronomy 6, and that's found on page 152, Deuteronomy 6, and let's look at verse 1. And it says, "Now these are the laws, the statutes, and the judgments which Yahweh your Father has commanded me to teach you, so that you may observe them in the land you are crossing over to possess. Now, so that you may reverence Yahweh your Father by keeping all his statutes and his laws, which I command you, your son and your son's son, all the days of your life, and so that your days may be prolonged." Now let's go up to verse 25, and it says, "And it will be our righteousness if we observe to do all of this law before Yahweh our Father, as he has commanded us." So it is only when we perfectly keep Yahweh's laws that we will be protected. Now if you'll turn over to Daniel 12 and verse 1, and I'm going to read the corrected translation from the prophetic word. And it says, "And at that time, one who is like Yahweh will stand up at Abel, Yisrael, the great priest who stands at Abel to teach Yahweh's just, perfect laws to the children of your people. And there will be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation to this time. And at that time, your people will be delivered, everyone who will be found written in the book of life." So the only ones who will be delivered are those who keep the 613 laws of Yahweh. The world's governments are going to pass away along with the lusts of them. Those who keep the laws of Yahweh will receive eternal life, and they will be protected from the wars, the sickness, the disease, and death that is coming upon the world. And we know that the end is coming, as we can see in Matthew 24. If you want to turn there, Matthew 24. And let's look at verse 21. And it's found on page 752. Matthew 24 and verse 21. And it says, "For then will be great tribulation, such as has not come to pass since the beginning of the world to this time, no nor ever will be. And unless those days were shortened, there would no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened." And we can also see these things in Isaiah 24, verses 1 through 6, that the land mourns, the earth mourns, and fades away. Now a sermon given by pastor, the date is 4-19-2006, in the 6th book of Israel, chapter 15, and verse 67, pastor's reading from Psalms 91, and it says here, verse 2, "We say to Yahweh, you are our refuge and our fortress." You better be saying that, because there is no other power that can protect you from this. Only Yahweh can protect you through these days to come. "You are our Father, in you we will trust." You better trust in him. Verse 3, "Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome," that's the same word in Revelations 12, verse 2, "deadly pestilence," which means disease epidemics. That's the same thing Yeshua was talking about. You have to get the time period. It's speaking about the deadly pestilence that Yeshua mentioned in Matthew 24. Verse 75, he says, verse 7, "A thousand will fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand." This is a prophecy that's going to take place, but it will not come near you. You have that protection if you turn to Yahweh and stay strong with Yahweh. So we will be protected from these things if we keep Yahweh's laws and we stay strong and hold on. So only Yahweh can protect us. And in verse 131 of this chapter, verse 131, pastor says here, "The cities will be devastated." He's talking about after the bombs go off, he says the cities will be devastated. The land will be devastated. The places that look like gardens of Eden before the bombs are going to look black as coal after them. The scriptures show this is the time period we're facing. You don't have long to go. It's only 19 months. Surely you can fasten yourself down. Anybody can endure me and my preaching for 19 months. So he's talking there about after the bombs go off, how the land is going to be desolated. And this is, he says that the scriptures show this is the time period that we are facing now. Now we know that Yahweh offers us protection. Now let's see if the world can offer us protection from the things coming. In the 3-2014 prophetic word, on page 12, on the top of the page, I'm going to read you some things here that the world has to offer you. It says, 7 worst killer plagues in history. Smallpox killed more than 300 million people worldwide in the 20th century alone, and most of the native inhabitants of the Americas. Spanish flu killed 50 to 100 million people worldwide in less than 2 years. Black Death killed 75 million people worldwide. Malaria, and this one is still going on here today, kills about 2 million people per year. AIDS killed 25 million people worldwide. Cholera, 8 pandemics, hundreds of thousands killed worldwide. And then the last one, typhus, killed 3 million people between 1918 and 1922 alone, and most of Napoleon's soldiers in Russia. So those are the things that the world has to offer. They don't have any, they can't offer you protection from these things that are coming. That's just a couple of the diseases that are out there. Aside from that, we have Pope Francis, who is teaching against Yahweh's laws. But we just read there that we can only receive protection if we keep Yahweh's laws. So you can clearly see that the world cannot offer you protection from these things and the things that are coming upon the world. Now I'm going to read you an article here. It's entitled, 3 Trick-or-Treaters Killed by Speeding Car in California, Authorities Say. It says here, Halloween is one of the deadliest nights of the year because of the high number of drunken drivers and pedestrians on the road, according to the National Highway Traffic Safety. It says here, a 2-year-old boy was killed along U.S. Highway 27 by a bus transporting a work crew home. Another one here, in Greece, New York, it says 2 minors were hit by a car. The next one, a 3-year-old boy was struck and dragged by a car. The boy was trick-or-treating when he ran into the street and was hit by a car and allegedly dragged 40 feet before the driver stopped. And there's a whole bunch of these cases that have occurred. But those are just some of the things that you were protected from because you keep Yahweh's laws. But that could have been any of us, but since we keep Yahweh's laws and we don't celebrate those worldly holidays, we were protected from those things. The only protected place is the house of Yahweh in Abilene, Texas. So follow the 613 laws, and Yahweh's house will guide you to peace and safety from the horrors coming upon the world. And with that, if you'll all please stand. It's my great honor and privilege to present to you the great Kahan David Hyreman Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. May Yahweh's peace and blessings be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. It's an honor and a privilege for me to speak to Yahweh's called out ones in these last days, both here in the sanctuary and those spread through the entire earth at this time. I'd like to speak to you today primarily about Revelation chapter 11 and the witnesses, the things they would do. Revelation chapter 11 is speaking of the two witnesses and the works the two witnesses would do. Some of the works I'd like to cover today. The Revelation chapter 11 covers approximately a 40-year time span. Begins approximately at the time the house of Yahweh was established, and it ends with the first resurrection. Now, I'd like if you could, and the title of the sermon today is Yahweh's Witness, Yisrael Abel Hawkins, the Priest Who Teaches Peace at Abilene. So if you would begin by turning over to Revelation chapter 11, and let's look at verse 3. Revelation 11, if you go to Revelation 11, begin with verse 3, and it says, I will give my two witnesses to perform their prophetic offices, and they will foretell events about the 3.5 years those cast about with darkness. So first of all, let's identify who the two witnesses are. If you turn to Isaiah chapter 44, and please hold your place in Revelation chapter 11, we're going to be coming back there. But if you go to Isaiah 44, and let's look at verses 1, 2, and 8. Isaiah 44, 1, 2, and 8 identifies who the witnesses are. So let's look at Isaiah 44 and verse 1. Hear now, O Jacob, there's the name of one of the witnesses, O Jacob, my servant, and Yisrael, that's the name of the second witness, the other witness, whom I have chosen. This is what Yahweh says, who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you. Do not be afraid, Jacob, my servant, and Yeshurun, beloved Yisrael, whom I have appointed. And verse 8, do not fear nor be afraid. Have I not told you from that time and have declared to you, you are my witnesses. So these are the names of the witnesses, Jacob and Yisrael. So now let's go to, first of all, I'd like to see if the have a slide here. Could I have the first slide, please? Okay. This is the Prophetic Word magazine, the cover of the Prophetic Word magazine from the second Roman month in 2011. Picture of the two witnesses, our beloved pastor and overseer, Yisrael Hawkins, in the center there, and his brother, Jacob, on the upper right-hand corner there. And the next slide, please. Okay, so if you return to Isaiah 49 and verse 3, you're in Isaiah 44, so now go to Isaiah 49 and verse 3. It gives us a little more specifics of this time period. It says, now in Isaiah 49, verse 3, and he said to me, you are my servant, O Yisrael, through whom I will be glorified. And this is a very important point here, that we're going to find out that Yisrael is the spokesman of the two witnesses. And now let's go to verse 1 of that same chapter, Isaiah 49. Listen, O isles, countries, to me. Listen, you peoples, from afar. Yahweh has called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother. So these are brothers, and Yisrael, one of the brothers, he has made mention of my name. And verse 2 is like the point I'd like to make here. And he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. So Yisrael is the spokesman of the two witnesses. Okay? He's the spokesman. In the shadow of his hand, he has hidden me and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver, he has hidden me. So the witness Yisrael is the spokesman. The witness Yisrael is the one whom Yahweh has given the ability to speak boldly to the called out remnant and to the nations. He is the witness through whom Yahweh will be glorified. I'd like you also to turn now to Yael chapter 2 and verse 30. Yael 2 and verse 30. We read in Isaiah in Revelation 11 verse 3 that these witnesses will foretell events about the 3.5 years cast about with darkness. And Yael chapter 2, verse 30, 31 and 32 make some important points here about this time cast about in darkness. So Yael chapter 2, verse 30, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood, fire, pillars of smoke. This is nuclear. This is serious warfare that is being spoken of here. Now look at verse 31. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and wonderful day of Yahweh comes. Now verse 32, and whoever will call with the name of Yahweh will be delivered, will be protected, will be delivered and protected. For the house of Yahweh, established by the two witnesses, those who keep Yahweh's laws. Now notice the next verse, next several words here. Through the priest who teaches peace. This is speaking of the spokesman, Yisroel Hawkins. Through the priest who teaches peace, there will be deliverance, as Yahweh has said, among the remnant of those who have escaped, of those whom Yahweh calls. Okay, now let's go back to Revelation. You held your place there. Revelation 11, verse 4. Other identifying scriptures regarding the two witnesses. Revelation 11, verse 4. These are, as it were, the two olive trees. Important words here. Two olive trees. And as it were, the two lamps of the seven lamp lampstand. And we see the seven lampstand here. The witness Jacob on the eastern side of the lamp. The witness Yisroel on the western lamp here. The seventh era. Seventh and last era of the house of Yahweh in this time period. So, verse 4, these are, as it were, the two olive trees, and as it were, the two lamps of the seven lamp lampstand, ministering for the Father in the earth. Now let's go to Zechariah chapter 4, just to identify who these two olive trees are. Zechariah chapter 4, let's look at verse 2. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 2, and the Malach said to me, what do you see? So I said, I see a lampstand, all of gold, with its bowl for oil on top of it, with its seven lamps on it, and there are seven pipes to the seven lamps. And there are two olive trees. There are those words, two olive trees by it, one on the right side of the bowl and the other on the left side of it. Verse 11, let's go to verse 11. Then I answered and said to him, what are these two olive trees? One upon the right side of the lamp and the other upon the left side of it. Then I spoke to him again. What are these two olive branches which through the golden pipes bring forth the golden oil of Yahweh's 613 laws of peace? Verse 14. Then he said to me, these are the two anointed ones. These are Yahweh's two witnesses in these last days. These are the two anointed ones who stand for the supreme ruler of the whole earth. Let me see if I can bring up the next slide here. Could I have the next slide, please? Okay. If you go to verse 1 of Revelation chapter 11 now, verse 1 of chapter 11, we're going to see what the witness, some of the things the witnesses are, what the witness Yisroel has done. Verse 1, and there was given to me a reed like a measuring rod. Let me just follow along here, what I've got there on the slide. Revelation 11, verse 1. And there was given me, Yisroel Hawkins, speaking of the witness Yisroel, a reed like a measuring rod, and the Malach, Yisroel Hawkins, stood saying, rise and measure the temple of Yahweh and the altar and its confines where they worship. But the court, which is outside the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given to the Gentiles or to the nations. All right, so this is one of the things the witness would do. Let me see here. Okay. Now, I have an activity for the children here. But first of all, before we do that, could I have the next slide? Okay, turn to Yekezkel 40, verses 1 through 4. So this verses 1 and 2 is speaking of the work that the witness Yisroel would do, the measure of the temple. And Yekezkel also saw this vision here, the prophet Yekezkel in Yekezkel 40, verses 1 through 4. We're going to read that. In the 25th year of our captivity, in the beginning of the year, in the 10th of the moon, In the 14th year after the city had fallen, in the selfsame day, the hand of Yahweh, so Yahweh inspired the prophet Yechezkiah to see and understand this vision, was upon me, Yechezkiah, and he took me there in the visions of Yahweh. Yahweh inspired him and showed him these things. He brought me into the land of Israel and set me upon a greatly exalted mountain, and on it, like a building of a city on the south. So Yechezkiah saw the temple of Yahweh, he saw the house of Yahweh, but he also saw a building in his vision on the south. We're going to find out what that building is. Verse 3, when he took me there, and behold, a being whose appearance resembled bronze with a line of flax and a measuring reed. So Yechezkiah was doing exactly what Yisrael Hawkins was doing in measuring the temple. He stood in the clearing, and in verse 4, then the being said to me, son of man, look with your eyes and hear with your ears, and fix with your mind on everything that I show you, for the purpose that I show this to you, you were brought here. Declare all that you see to the house of Israel. So Yechezkiah was declaring these things, and just as Yahweh's witness Yisrael was instructed by the in Revelation 1 and 2, 11 verses 1 and 2, to reveal these things and to show them, make them understood. So what did Yechezkiah see in his vision? The prophet Yechezkiah saw the inner court and the outer court of the house of Yahweh, the temple, but he also saw a building of a city on the south. What did Yisrael Hawkins understand when he was instructed to measure the temple of Yahweh and its confines, but the court, which is outside the temple, leave it out? So Yechezkiah saw the inner court and the outer court, but the witness Yisrael was instructed to leave the outer court out, because it was given to the nations. There was because the building of the south was there. But so before we look at that pattern that both Yechezkiah and Yisrael Hawkins saw, let's turn to Psalm 84, verses 1 through 3. Psalm 84, verses 1 through 3. Now, I do have an activity for the children here. What did Yahweh show the prophet Yechezkiah and the witness Yisrael Hawkins? First of all, let's read Psalm 84, verses 1, 2, and 3. How beloved is your tabernacle, O Yahweh Almighty! Our souls long for, they even faint for your courts, O Yahweh. Our hearts and our flesh cry out to you, O living Father. Yes, each and every one of us is truly blessed to be here at the great house of Yahweh in these last days and be to understand Yahweh's plan. Now look at verse 3. Yes, the sparrow has found a house and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young in a place near your altar. Now children, think of a sparrow or a swallow, and of course birds can fly. Think about a sparrow or a swallow flying to a place called the Temple Mount where the house of Yahweh was located in the city of Jerusalem. So picture a sparrow or a swallow flying from the Mount of Olives, swooping down through the Kidron Valley, from the Mount of Olives through the Kidron Valley, heading west toward the Temple Mount. As a bird approaches the Temple Mount, it will fly over the wall of the old city, and it will see the vision that Yechezkiah saw. He saw the house of Yahweh with a building to the south. The building toward the south is the Dome of the Rock, the third holiest place in the Muslim world. The sparrow or the swallow as it flies will see what Yahweh inspired the witness Yisrael Hawkins to measure in 1982. And as the scripture reads, rise and measure the temple of Yahweh and its altar and its confines, where they worship within, but the court, which is outside the temple, leave it out. Measure not, for it is given to the nations. The sparrow or the swallow will see the peaceful solution to the rebuilding of the inner court of the temple built just north of the Dome of the Rock. So children, are you thinking about what a sparrow or a swallow would see as it heads towards its nest? It would look something like this. And if we could play the next slide. So here we see the peaceful solution. We see the Dome of the Rock on the south. We see the inner court of the temple, the house of Yahweh. As we swing around, now we're looking from the west toward the Mount of Olives again. So, and this is just a still picture of the wall of the old city. So here we're seeing it again, the peaceful solution in this animation. That's the inner court of the house of Yahweh, the building to the south. And this is what Yisrael Hawkins measured. This is what the prophet Yeketsky saw. If we could have the next slide, please. Okay, this is the peaceful solution, looking from the west toward the Mount of Olives, toward the east. You see the inner court, and you see the Mount of Olives on the background there. Okay, and if we go to the next slide. Now, this is looking from the Mount of Olives onto the Temple Mount, looking from the east to the west. Next slide, please. Now, this next slide, this is what Yisrael Hawkins and the House of Yahweh published in 1989. This is the peaceful solution to building the temple in Jerusalem. This is a picture. Well, this is a picture of the book, but that was published by the witness Yeshua. But it's also, it's a picture showing the temple model superimposed on a picture of the Temple Mount. You see the building on the south, the Dome of the Rock. You see that this can be accomplished, and it is a peaceful solution brought forth by the witness Yeshua Abel Hawkins. Okay, let's in the next slide, please turn to Revelation 11, verse 2. Now, the next part of this verse here, and the holy city they will tread underfoot 3.5 years. The word, who will tread the holy city for 3.5 years? This is the Gentiles, the nations. The word holy city refers to the city where the temple of Yahweh stood. This is the city in Jerusalem, Israel. Notice the Gentile nations will tread the holy city. In the King James Version, it says, for 42 moons. Now, there's only two places in the book of Yahweh where 42 moons is used. Only two places is where that time span is described that way. One is Revelation 11, verse 2, and the other is Revelation 13, verse 5. So if I could have the next slide, please. Okay. If you look at this comparison here of Revelation 11, verse 2, and Revelation 13, first of all, but the court which is outside the temple, leave it out, measure it not, for given to the Gentiles in the holy city, they will tread under 42 months. Now, on the right side, the Revelation 13, verse 4, the book of Yahweh, and they worship the dragon, which gave power to the beast. Now the dragon is the adversary, Satan. The beast is Pope Francis. He's the one in authority over the religious system that sits on the seven hills of Rome. And they worship the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things. This is Pope Francis. And blasphemies, and power was given him to make war for 42 moons. There's the other place at 42 moons. So Pope Francis and his system is what's treading down the holy city, or the city of Jerusalem at this time. Just like, and this is explained here in 6 and 7, he opened his mouth in blasphemy against Yahweh to blaspheme his house, his name and his house, the house of Yahweh, and those who dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him, Francis, to make war with the saints. Yes, Pastor, he's against the house of Yahweh. And his teachings are against Yahweh's laws. That's what makes him against the house. And to overcome them. But notice also, he has authority, was given him over all tribes and peoples and languages and nations. So this is the waters spoken of in Revelation 17, verse 15. You know, he has authority to tread down all nations. And so now let's, if you could have the next slide, please. Okay, I think we're If we go to Revelation 11, verse 5, and if any among them determines, this is Revelation 11, verse 5, and if any among them determines to commit sin, the every word of Yahweh, the law and the prophets, like the two-edged sword of fire, proceeds out of the mouth of the spokesman of them, proceeds out of pastor's mouth, and he devours their enemies. And what this is speaking about is that the 613 laws contain Yahweh's judgments. If we keep the laws, we're blessed. If we don't keep the laws, we're not. And that's what's being spoken of here. And if any among them should continue to commit sin, in this manner it is binding for him to be destroyed. If you would look at Deuteronomy chapter 30, that's what this is saying, that Yahweh's laws contain the blessings, as we know from Deuteronomy 28, and they contain the curses. It's just that simple. Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. See, I have set before you this day life by righteousness and death and destruction. It's a pretty simple choice, actually. It's very simple. The choice is very simple. Yahweh doesn't complicate things. And if you look at verse 18 here of Deuteronomy chapter 30, I declare to you here, verse 17 first, but if your heart turns away from you and you are not obedient, if you are drawn away to submit to God's Elohim, to worship them by serving them, I declare to you this day, you will surely perish. So there's the same thing spoken of that the witness would bring forth in these last days. Keeping the laws brings blessings. Not keeping the laws brings the opposite. Okay, let's go on to, we could have the next slide, please. All right, the witness Yeshua, this is verse 6 of Revelation, verse 6. 11 verse 6. Speaking of the witnesses and what they would do, this verse contains three specific points. First of all, these hold Yahweh's authority to shut the heaven in order that rainfall does not rain in the days of their prediction. That's one thing. Not going to rain, it says here. The second one, they have authority over the waters to turn them into blood. So, turn the waters into blood. Third thing, strike the earth with every plague. So that's what it says the witnesses would do. If we could have the next slide, please. Let's take the first one. These hold Yahweh's authority to shut the heavens in order that rainfall does not rain in the days of their prediction. The witness, Yisrael, has the wisdom and understanding to explain that sin is destroying the firmament and that the destruction of the firmament is the reason that devastating droughts and floods are occurring in these last days. Rainfall is no longer normal. I believe that's what this is speaking of here. The word to shut means to close off or to change. The heaven means the sky. We can go to the many articles that pastors brought about the microorganisms, sin destroying the firmament. I believe this is an explanation of this first part of what the witnesses would do. That the rainfall is not normal during this time period, these last days. Let's go to the next slide. In Revelation 11, verse 6, the second thing it says the witnesses would do, or specifically the spokesman, Yisrael, would do, it says they have power over the waters to turn them to blood. Okay, well, let's look at the words. First of all, the word power means authority. It means they have the competency, the ability to explain this. They have the competency to do this thing. The second one is waters. We know that waters in Revelation 17, verse 15, means peoples, nations, languages. It means the nations. It means people. And so the next word there, waters, that it means people. It's not talking about about specifically about water. It's speaking of people. And to turn means to reverse, to bring about a change. Now, I'd like to focus on the little word two, word 15:19. It's the Greek word pronounced ice. The word, it's Greek word 15:19, and there the. So let's look over to the next slide. This is the Greek word 15:19. Most of the time, it's translated to or into, but it's also translated against. So if you look at the definition here, a primary preposition, to or into, and if you notice in the third line there of the main text there, many times the translators have used the word against. They translated against, to, into, against. All right, so keep that in mind. And here, if you could have the next slide. Here are some examples of where the translators translated against. Romans 8, verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against Yahweh. Could have been translated to or into, but they translated it against. A better translation. Because the carnal mind is enmity against, bitterly opposed to Yahweh, for it is not subject to the law of Yahweh, nor indeed can be. Now let's look at the second example there in Luke 12, verse 10. And whosoever shall speak a word against, see the little number there, 15:19, ice, it means, you know, it could have been translated to or into, but it's against. And whoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, but unto him that blasphemeth against Holy Spirit, there's the word against, used again in the same twice, in the same verse, it will be not forgiven him. Okay, so there you see how it can be translated. Let's go to the next word, next slide. Blood. The word blood, Greek word 129, translated blood in many cases, but it can also be, but you see there in the third line, the last line, by implication, bloodshed. Bloodshed. Think of it in terms of bloodshed. Now let's go to the next slide. I think this is the understanding of Revelation 11, verse 6, what the witness would do. Yisroel Hawkins, the priest who teaches peace at Abel, if you look at the bottom portion of that slide, Revelation 11, verse 6, these witnesses, specifically the spokesmen, have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters, peoples, multitudes, nations, and languages, to turn them against bloodshed. Here's the peaceful solution. This is the peaceful solution to this understanding here. It's not turning water to blood. And to smite the earth with every plague as often as they will. Let's go to the next slide. This is the third part of what the witness Yeshua would do. These hold Yahweh's authority to strike the earth with every plague, one after another. He's going to do this. No, he's not going to do that. As often as provided that he should. But what he will do, the witness Yeshua has the wisdom and understanding to continually strike the conscience of the inhabitants of the earth by warning them that plagues and diseases are caused by sin. Pastor has brought forth a relentless number of articles in the books of Israel in his sermons that talk about diseases, mutations of diseases caused by sin. I think that's the last slide I have here. But I'd just like to conclude by showing you that, you know, these things are already accomplished. The witness Yishol has done these things. There's nothing left undone here. Yes, it's ongoing, but these are all done. He's done these things. Right now he's contending with the Pope, contending with Francis. But these prophecies, he has completed these, brethren. We're past. He's done his job. He's done his job very faithfully. In fact, I'll read what he said here. Now, if you remember, this is from the 8th book of Israel. Now, if you remember last week, I brought out about STDs. They're tracing them back to the cause. And all of these things we've been suffering, mainly because the house of Yahweh started bringing this out about 40 years ago, that STDs are the cause of sickness and disease. And we're urging people to, especially the scientists and lab technicians, to start looking at that link, for that link, because that's what the scripture shows. Yahweh shows in prophecy that it would increase in this time period, the time period of the quartet. But also Yahweh shows in his laws, don't do these things because it's going to cause the diseases of Egypt to come upon you. So we, in Isaiah 2 verse 2, the witnesses established the house of Yahweh. And I just like to read Isaiah 2 verse 4 here in closing. He, Yahweh, will judge among the nations and will rebuke many people, and they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, neither will they learn war anymore. The witness, Yishel Abel Hawkins, is the priest who teaches peace at Abilene. May Yahweh bless your understanding. If you'd all please stand. It's my honor and privilege to turn the services over at this time to the great Kohen Matithia Stubbs Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom. Please be seated. We got to go through this really quick here. I only got just a couple minutes. Been working on the Yisrael Says program. Can y'all hear me okay? Can I turn my head this way? This is a wonderful, wonderful piece of work that Yahweh has allowed his house to have in these last days. And I wanted to show you a sample of it. Now, this is just a sample. We're not done with it yet, but it's got some great potential. This, if I can get this to work correctly here. Can you see that okay? Okay, so this right here is just a prototype of it. But as you can see, you could put a word in, like I put this word in here, and you just push search, and it'll take you to any place the pastor spoke that had that word in any of the books that he's written. Now, right now, we haven't got all the books in it, but we're working on getting them all in. All the books of Israel are going to eventually be in this, and I think Pastor even said the Book of Yahweh and the Mark of the Beast, and it's going to be a beautiful thing. So all you'd have to do, if you want to know something. Yeah, like an example, you remember Pastor brought out that Zipporah's father, the name of Zipporah's father, who was Moshe's wife? You remember that? Everybody in the world thinks it's what? Jethro, right? But we know that it's not. Because the scripture says that it's not. If you look here, I'll put in Zipporah. It could take just a second to load here. Let me make it so it's easier to see. You can turn it up if you have trouble seeing it. You can make the words bigger. So you see here, Zipporah. Now this man's name was Raul. Now the world wouldn't know that, but now you can find it in a matter of minutes. Children, you can use this with your parents. Do a trivia question, scriptural trivia. Get them to get the Book of Israel on Israel Says. And you could look up anything in the Book of Israel and pull it up and ask questions. Now, Pastor, keyword is amazing. Just that alone is going to be an amazing ability to be able to find anything. But Pastor said, that's not enough. I don't want just keyword. He says, I want to make it so that anytime anybody wants to look up a subject, they can look it up. So now you can actually go to what's called the topics, which is over here. So if I search on Catholic Church, it'll bring up everything that talks about where Pastor talks about the Catholic Church. Now, sometimes when he's talking about the Catholic Church, he doesn't use the word Catholic Church. He may use the word Seven Hills, or he may use the Great Whore. He has different ways that he describes that Yahweh uses to describe the Catholic Church, and they're all written in. They're all in Pastor's speaking, in his writing, and you could find them. But even more than this, think about this: if Pastor eventually, we get all the books the pastor's written into this kind of program. If you typed on a scripture like Revelations 11, like the great Kohen was talking beforehand, it would bring up all the mistranslations the pastor has written in all the books. Think about that. I mean, think about how great of an opportunity that's going to be. You're going to be able to go back and look at the lexicons, how they're all written out. Because pastor's put all these things in writing. He's preached and published these things. And now you'll be able to see it. No commentary in the world is going to be as great as this. Praise Yahweh. Just think about it. I mean, you read a commentary, you may get a little point here, and you get a whole bunch of other garbage mixed in it. You're going to get the complete truth with just one click of a button. You could pull up everything pastor's ever said on the subject. And if that's not enough, here's a little thing. So say you're over here and you're typing a sermon on WordPad. You bring up something like WordPad, and you see something in the writing over here of the book of Israel that you like and you want to teach it in a class. You can just go over this, right-click it, copy, come over here, and paste, and now it's there. Now think about what a blessing that's going to be when you're putting together a sermon or you're putting together for a class. You could pull scriptures, pull statements the pastor made, and put them into your sermon. And then just print them off, and now you got it all ready to go. Praise Yahweh. And if that's not enough, look at this. So, say you're reading along, and you get into it, and now you want to know that's verse 57 of the chapter 4. You double-click on it. This is just a prototype. We'll get all the kinks worked out. The words will be highlighted eventually once we have it, but you could actually click on the verse and it'll bring up that book and you'll start reading from 51. It didn't bring it up where it's supposed to, but anyway, that's the beginning of that book of Israel. But it'll actually go 51, 52, and you'll be able to read just right along with the book. This is really going to, I believe, there's nothing that's going to be as great as what we have offered here with this. And another thing we're working on, you're going to like this one, you might be able to get it on a smartphone. So think about this. Think about carrying pastor's words with you everywhere you go. One time I did a job for a man and I went to go get paid. And when I went to go get paid, he said, come into my house. I'll write your check. It's in my house. And when I went into his house, as soon as he said that, the alarms went off in my head. And as soon as I went into his house, there's his father, him, and his son. His father was a preacher. He was a preacher. And his son was a student at ACU. And he started off with, so do you still go to that house, Yahweh? I knew I was in trouble. I knew it was a trap at that moment. And he said, is Bill Hawkins still running that thing out there? And all I could remember was the training in the house of Yahweh where pastor said, keep it on the Sabbath and the name of Yahweh. And so I just kept directing it back to the Sabbath. And the man, they kept trying to throw me off with all these different scriptures to trap me. But there was one scripture they used, and I didn't know it, but I knew it had been taught in the house of Yahweh. There was a scripture that says in Acts, he said that they keep the Sabbath on Sunday because it said in the book of Acts that they gathered together and broke bread on the first day of the week. And I knew there was something wrong with that scripture, but I couldn't find it. It took me 2 years to find that scripture. 2 years, and I finally found pastor's writings. I found the scripture, and pastor said in it they actually took the words the Sabbath and they translated it Sunday or the first day of the week. But it wasn't even in the original writings. It actually said the Sabbath. And all I could think of at that time, that was like 15 years ago, I said, man, I would there was a way to just get pastor's writings, you know, so quickly like you could a Strong's, a concordance. You could just open it up and it'd be there. It's hard to find that. Well, now we have it. Now we have a concordance of the words of the last day's witness. Praise Yahweh. And remember what the prophecy said. We're going to speak his words. So you could take, you don't have to make up your own words. Pastor's already done all the studying for us. He has it all written out for us. All you have to do is be able to bring it up and present it. Praise Yahweh. And remember, one thing with the teaching, there's so much more that I'm really not going to have time to go into right now, but This has so many other possibilities that we're going to work on. And this is going to be completely accomplished. This is going to be the greatest commentary that's ever been written. Because everything has been preached and published in the house of Yahweh. And now we just need to be able to find it by a concordance. And that's what this does. But praise Yahweh. If you all please stand. I'd like to turn the services over to the great Kahan Yulia Hawkins.
Everyone may be seated. It's very important as we start watching the news today to remember Pastor said in the front of the Peaceful Solution that his father, he had a few choice words when he was a young man that he put into his mind that were such things as never get even or fight back or two wrongs don't make a right. But they were choice words that were put into his mind that changed his life. Well, the very first article that comes up, remember, President Obama was presented with the peaceful solution and a few choice words were put into his mind. Pay attention, very close attention to what you're going to hear and see in the very first article that comes up. I think it'll be self-explanatory, but remember, sometimes we feel our work is in vain, but we can step back and we can see that Yahweh is making it come to pass. We don't always see it immediately, but we do see it. Also, the flu is mutating. They can't keep up. The drugs, they can't make them fast enough to keep up. We're seeing the flu. Go to Disneyland, you get the measles. That's what's taking place with that. Also, very interesting young lady in Connecticut who is being forced to take chemo, even though she doesn't want it. Her mother doesn't want her to take it. She's not an adult. She's 17, so she is actually arrested in a hospital by the state and being forced to take chemo. She's told when she's 18, she can refuse it, but her chemo will be finished before she turns 18. So that's very interesting in itself. And then, of course, there's more footage on the young boy that was shot in Cleveland. And look at the training that these cops have received. Remember, not the people, but the system. Look at how they've been trained. They're only doing what they were trained to do, and truly the love of many have grown cold. And then, of course, we had the attack in Paris this week with people shooting people, going in, 12 dead on one day. 2 days later, more found dead. And this is being drawn to be this huge thing, you know, 12 people shot dead. But let's take a look at this. We've also got a section in Chicago, for example. How many people knew that there's more people die in the gang wars in Chicago each year than die in the Afghanistan-Iraqi war? You know, these are some statistics for America. On average, 30 people a day will be killed just with firearms. That's not by stabbings, not car wrecks. This is murdered with weapons. 30 people. 162 will be wounded, and another 53 will commit suicide with firearms. So let's look at that. You think of the 12, all the news footage has been shown to it, all of these things trying to make it look like Muslims are wanting to kill everyone. Since September the 11th, which we had 2,996 people die September the 11th, and everyone still talks about that, a memorial was made for those people, and granted it was tragic that that many people died. But on average, us ourselves, Americans, we don't need influence from anyone else. On average, since that time, we have 424,130 Americans that have been murdered or committed suicide. Now, think about the system. What is the system trying to do for that? Since that time, 16.8 million abortions. For every 1,000 children that are born, 234 are aborted. 1.2 million a year, 137 an hour. During this service today, you're looking at over, what, almost 300 babies will be aborted just during services today. So don't be fooled by what we're seeing in the system where 12 people died. It is tragic, but it's a system. It's an overall system. It's not a hatred toward a people. Don't fall into that. Remember, the Catholic Church brings hatred towards any form of righteousness. Any form of righteousness. Do not fall for anything, this breaking or making of a reputation for people. Watch what's taking place. Pay attention to what's taking place. Once again, we'll show that. And then a few more things going in with Ukraine. Of course, they're battling in Ukraine. The arguments are constantly going. Remember the first article that comes up, though. And then in closing, there's experts sitting around trying to figure out what we're going to do. What's going to be the problem for 2015? Well, they all name a different problem, and they all can be catastrophic. The one thing they do agree in, and it's what it closes in, is that we have wars and we see no end in sight. It's worse today than what it was when we started these wars. So all these trillions of dollars, weaponry, it's worse today than where it began. Truly, Babylon is falling. If we could go ahead and play the news. I'd like to introduce the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael, Abel Hawkins.
Hello, everyone. Come on, come. You've got to hurry today. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. What you're seeing there is not movies. That didn't come from Hollywood. It came from every nation. And, of course, the hospitals. I don't have time to cover that today, but we certainly want to... I'm out of breath. We certainly want to get the cause in here, because what you're seeing there is the face of the gods that looks so desirable to Eve, Adam and Eve, of course. And of course, it looks desirable to some even today. They look past the people that are suffering, which are billions of people throughout the earth now, suffering, everyone with a disease, children being born with no life at all, a jumbled up mess that they're going to have to live with what few days they can live. But this is today's world. This is the face of the gods. Be like the gods. This is the desirable way. And the preachers are still telling them that, even in spite of all the mess that you're seeing on the news today, what's coming from the doctors, the scientists, and so forth. Well, the body with which you came, brethren, the body that Yahweh made for you, it's only going to be here for a while. But he said, if you don't turn from sin, dying, you will die. And that's what we're seeing throughout the earth today. The body with which you came to the house of Yahweh was carrying diseases of death when you came here. You probably didn't even know it. You didn't know they were hiding there. But science now knows this. They're just learning it. They're trying to find out more. And they got some great tests going. One I want to tell you about today. But the things that they're finding out, the scriptures actually tells you this. That was written thousands of years ago. And it tells you that you do these things and it's going to cause this, what you're seeing here on earth today. Confusion, wars, and the body that you brought here with you when Yahweh called you is probably carrying diseases back from at least four generations before you. And you don't know it, and pretty soon you start seeing some evidence, symptoms as they call it. And you see this, or you start feeling it in your body. And then you start seeing evidence of it. Like the burning eye. Maybe a spot in your eye. Well, when did you get that? Well, I just saw it yesterday. But when did you really get it? You know, maybe even four generations back, it was planted by one of the sinful ones following the gods, or it could have been you after you were born. Most likely, it was the parents before you. But from the time you started breathing that first breath of air, you started taking in what you were breathing. There's an article, they couldn't get it for me this morning, but maybe next week. But it's talking about this depleted uranium that is all over Iraq now. It doesn't hurt the oil, but it's all over Iraq, and it's not staying in Iraq now. Remember the wind currents, and then remember what you saw there and how it carries these diseases from one world to the other, one side of the ocean to the other. Well, completed uranium is causing not only birth defects, but many other diseases. is carried with the air. How much of it can you get before you start feeling it or symptoms start showing? You're probably doing it right now. I know we're protected here in Texas, and if you'll notice the wind currents, it goes up and around the house of Yahweh every single time. It's not going around the world, and every single person on the face of the earth is going to realize this. You're realizing it now because you've started to believe what Yahweh tells you. That's the reason that you're going to be used very extensively in the near future to teach the world what occurred to them and why it came upon them. There's people right now that are wanting, they're actually trying to get doctors to help them to commit suicide. And this is being published. It's so miserable. When you don't get the gist of it here because you're not as sick as the world. But if you would put a camera, a hidden camera maybe, on a drugstore, you could see the people humbling in and out of the doors, getting these drugs to try to hide the symptoms. Well, that's the world for you today. Their minds doesn't work properly. It's not working properly. We have written letters to every nation. We're broadcasting it to every nation worldwide. What is causing this trouble? How we can have peace? How we can have healthy minds and healthy bodies? But there now, we're dealing with an impossible situation because when a mind is confused, it's hard for them to comprehend truth. So that's what we're up against. We are going to win. Yahweh prophesies that, and every one of his prophecies are coming true. You couldn't get me to doubt. There's no way that anyone could get me to doubt these scriptures. You know, I've seen it. Been seeing it for 80-something years now. The great Kohan Hammerman's this morning, in his sermons he brought out, and the ones that Kohan Matithya brought. It reminded me of when I was 17 and wanting to write a commentary on these things. And now I was just told this morning we had something better than a commentary that we're putting out with this truth. And it's reaching billions or millions. I better keep it in the millions right now. But it is reaching the world at this time. We see what they're saying now about this depleted uranium. They say when it gets in the soil, and I'll read you that next week or show it to you, show you this article. It's on Press TV, 5:30 this morning. It was on Press TV, saying that it will take 17,000 years to get out of the soil, or more, they said. But at least, the scientists are saying, at least 17,000 years to get out of the soil once it gets in it. This is in our world. We have created this. The earth is defiled. If you want to turn over to Isaiah quickly and tie this into what you just saw there on the news, Isaiah 24. Verse 6 says, verse 4, the earth mourns. The earth mourns, and fades away. That's the people. They're mourning right now, deeply mourning. If you could see the hospitals and how full they are and how they keep expanding and building more hospitals, building more drugs, trying to create drugs that are resistant to bacteria. The bacteria right now is resistant to the drugs. And one of the elders just told me when we were talking on the stage, he said they were so pleased that they had found a drug that would kill one type of flu, and before they could get it to the people, it had mutated so much that the flu drugs that they were selling were not effective. So they had to rush back and start adding some more mutations to the list to try to catch up with what was already going on now with the people. This is how bad it's getting. Even breathing or touching or coughing. Wasn't referring to you, but and hope you don't have it. Hope it's just sinus trouble. But if you see the prophecy here that tells you what's going to make it fade away, it's here. Look at that. The earth, the people of the earth, the universe even. It means universe also, are mourning. The gods, yes, the gods in heaven that Yahweh is dealing with is fighting each other. That's how they become gods. They gain power like Cush did with the Nimrod system. They gain power. And the first thing they noticed about it was confusion. Well, I think the world is still living in the land of Shinar right now. They haven't come out of it a bit. Hold your place there. This article here, I've got to read it before this fades from your mind. Hopefully, with all the things we showed you here this morning, it will remain with you. But new drug beats antibiotic-resistant bugs. Well, that's the headlines on this article. Boston. Today's research offers a one-two punch in the search of a new antibiotics. Today's research offers a one-two punch in the search for new antibiotics, a different way of finding them, and the discovery of one. Texabactam. Makes antibiotic resistance unlikely. Well, how many times have you heard that now? I remember back when penicillin was just getting started, and I was working in the State Board of Health Laboratories in Kansas City, Kansas, and at the time, and we were using penicillin, the records, I think of the records that was being kept then on it, and I remember how from that step I saw knowledge, what knowledge increase does. I lived it right there in the labs because Dr. Hunter would send me to it was a huge storage building. I think it was once a motel or something. The state leased it and turns it into a storage building. And we had not computers, you know. Computers came later, I think about 1965 or something like that. But I can remember carrying pickup loads or van loads of records from the State Board of Health Laboratory over to the big storage building. And the first time I walked in there, you know, I wondered how anyone ever found anything. But it was stored in boxes with a tag on it that I didn't understand, but it was supposed to be filed in a sensible manner that I didn't understand. But I went to store these records, and I had to take classes to find out how to store those boxes. And once you found the box, then you see, well, this was put in the wrong place or something because it's not in this place. Number one section, number A section, 1A, well, it showed you what was supposed to be there. But it didn't show you about this guy that came and got a box of records and took it back and he was in a hurry. It didn't show you that. Well, all this stuff that I was seeing then that was impossible. It's impossible to find. And I think I'm going to try to find some records that write to the state or email them and see if they'll send me some records in 1952 and see what they tell me. We've tried on a number of other things, and
I was so surprised that Oklahoma actually had my date of birth and everything there, and my first record still was from 1934. But anyway, I saw the knowledge increase because the computers came in, and what was stored in the computers can be found easily. Well, this same knowledge, as you could see from what was brought out today, you can punch a button and find everything that I said back when the work first started until now and find it in an instant on that on that computer program. Those will soon be available, by the way. These that we're going over right now, we're still adding, subtracting, and until we get it perfect. We're not going to send it out till we get it as perfect as we possibly can. But it won't be long now before you'll be able to get it. The man says, my guess is that if resistance is going to develop against Texobactin, it will take more than 30 years for this to occur, said Kim Lewis, who led a team of scientists at Northeastern University. Overuse of antibiotics led to infection with drug-resistant bacteria in at least 2 million Americans a year, killing at least 23,000. Yes, it was overused. It wasn't caused by this. It was caused by the sins before this. And, of course, the antibiotic drugs that came from the earth, and they're now realizing this, and this is where they're trying to grow it now, but I'll show you the mistake in that if you'll listen closely. It says most antibiotics are produced by bacteria found in the soil, but only about 1% of these organisms can be grown in a laboratory. 1%. That leaves 99% that can't be grown. Let me read the rest, and then I'll explain. So they placed a bacteria, this team did. They placed a bacteria directly in the soil in tiny wells. If you'll get the same thing that here, but they're trying to single one out. Yahweh gives you in when you need to relieve yourself, take a shovel with you. Put it in the earth and cover it up. Now, in this right here, the medical books say this actually went into the soil. The soil found what was missing in that piece of ground right there. The armies of microorganisms that grow your food, but they don't put a single one that's been picked out in abundance. They put it in a workable manner. And that's the way Yahweh put it. Science is now realizing this. And when the person that's living on the soil, as Adam and Eve were put and said, guard and keep this way now. Well, of course, they didn't guard and keep that way. But when they were doing this way, the soil, it was only later when they started living in big cities, huge cities, there was paid workmen that came and emptied their buckets. They took them to a certain place. Those that got in a hurry, they stored the records in the wrong, instead of A section, they stored it in the H2O section. And it went washing down the river. So the record keeping didn't add up to what Yahweh said, guard and keep. Well, of course, those who did it right took it out, buried it in the earth, like they were supposed to do. But that's the weakness of mankind in wanting to rush through things instead of do them right. That's one of the training things that we're going through now. We need to do it right, or strive to do it right. It's hard. If you think that Yahweh doesn't have a big job in turning Leviathan around, just dwell on that just a little bit. But unless the earth that makes your body, that made each of your bodies, unless the earth is kept like Yahweh made it to begin with, then we cause trouble for the kingdoms of microorganisms to bring forth a suitable food for your body. Well, he says here now, so they placed a bacteria directly in the soil in tiny wells, isolating 50,000 different specimens, which made 25 new antibiotics. One toxobaxin effectively killed certain drug-resistant bacteria. They took out one, and they multiplied that one. Now, you could do this to the earth, and the earth would have trouble straightening out that because it would be overly plenished in that one single bacteria. And this, of course, causes the trouble. You can't tell science that because they're trying to create a single pill that they can sell, like penicillin. I remember that, and I asked questions about it in the State Board of Health Laboratories. We had four pretty fine educated doctors there, and so I could ask questions of any of them. I work with them daily. And I said, you know, how do we know that this is killing syphilis? Because the main war that we had, that I got involved pretty deeply in, was breaking the law of Yahweh. And I was telling them at that time, you know, if we would stop breaking the law, why don't we teach them to keep the laws? And Yahweh says this is a void. I wasn't using the name Yahweh at that time. But I said, you know, the scripture says this. And of course, they told me this is no way you're going to stop that. You know, no way you're going to stop the sin. What we're hunting is a pill to hide the symptoms. And that's what they had in penicillin. Your body would have done that itself. I mean, the syphilis, it has to find a home to set up in your body. So it enters your body and it disappears on the outside. So the symptoms disappear. But it hides inside your body, and then 15 to 30 years later, it will make its appearance when a certain organ becomes weakened from stress or something like that. Then it will come out. It'll maybe make you go blind. Your kidneys stop working. Your bowels stop working, so forth. That's what syphilis can do. Well, we gave them a shot of penicillin and told them they were well, but they were not. And we know that. Now we know it. But even with all of these other diseases, you know, you shoot one and he supposedly gets well. How many did he spread it to before this killed this one bacteria that was causing the problem? Which it wasn't one, is a combination of many that's causing these problems. And the more that we create, the more of an army they have to fight with in your body. and they're weakening. Dying, you will die, as Yahweh said. Now that was in the beginning, and then he showed it would get worse, if you remember. It would get worse as sin multiplied. If you could imagine your body as maybe a city. I mention cities because a city had to be run properly or it would get sick and die. So diseases would start eating at the city, the people in the city, and they would start leaving that city because they knew they'd been made sick by something. The water was poisoned from the ones who got in a hurry and didn't want to bury the sewage or something. But when a job was not done, and Babylon was a big one, and finally they did die off by leaps and bounds. But anyway, if you could imagine your body as a city, and you have a symptom, you have all kinds of ways of taking care of the city. You have the police officers, that would be your defense force in your city or your army that fights the invaders that come in. And here they're talking about putting in the defense force, one single but multiplied. Multiplied this one single thing to the officer that checked the schools. Well, if you have your whole city with the officer that checked the streets in front of the schools or the lights to see if they were working, well, where's the rest? What's going to take care of the rest? Well, you have to have all of these others, the training, the school to train, the ones that assign the jobs, and so forth. Well, you got a water leak in a city. You have certain men to go take care of it, right? If you're living in a city, they'll say, shut it off. We'll get to you in a month or so right now. They can't keep up with the water breaks. Well, this would be a blood vein, say, break in your body. And here is in your body now is trillions of kingdoms, and one assigns the vitamin K. Hey, give us a dose of vitamin K down here in E section. Teaspoonful. if you're getting the idea, now these are kingdoms, micro kingdoms that's working in your body to take care of a blood leak. So in that section right there, it takes a few seconds. It takes just a few seconds for those kingdoms to get enough vitamin K to that section in your body to stop that leak. Now, if you got something else wrong, some stupid jerk didn't put it in the right file, this leak won't stop. And you could dump in all the vitamin K you wanted to, but vitamin K alone will not stop blood from coming out. If you got a sick personnel around it that has to assist that vitamin K. I think of myself sometimes when I get aggravated and I'm stressed out, I can't keep up with the jobs, and we got people out of water at midnight. electricity's down at the freezer, and it's hot, and the food's running. And I can just think of these trillions of kingdoms that said, hey, come on, crew, now get some serotonin over here right quickly to Israel. He's got a blowout. A teaspoonful, no, more like a bushel for him. Get it over here quickly. that's what we're putting up with. Well, you can see how your body works this way. And unless it's kept, less the soil. Now, let's go back to the soil here that we're talking about. Now, they're talking about taking these test tubes, putting one type of bacteria in here that's made up of thousands, by the way, picking out one that they think will stop the resistance, because there's certain, not one, but I could tell them there's trillions in there that would stop this. That is, they're built to stop it in the soil. Otherwise, the soil itself would kill you. It would, the gas line would break and no workers to stop it. It would spew all over the town and it would shut the city down. The same thing in your body. So they're taking out one bacteria, and they say they're advertising to all the world now, in 30 years we'll have something to stop this. If you live 30 years, you know, maybe you'll experience. But I can tell you right now, this has been tried before, and I remember it under a different name. I haven't come up with the name yet, but I do remember this, what they're trying to do and what was being done 50 years ago, or about that much. Well, anyway, this is what they're doing now. But it won't work. It takes a combination of these, the whole thing, to first off keep the earth producing this, but in a manner that is needed, no more, no less. Otherwise, the soil won't work. This is how complicated Yahweh made your soil. Now, you think of the wisdom that it took to build this earth and build the things that man needs for his body in just the right amounts now. And if you worked in a lab long, you'd see this. But it's a great thing, great experience I got. I'm glad that Yahweh put me through that experience. And because I can see how complicated, and you should too from what I've told you. If you don't, get this article and read it. But they hope to take out one bacteria that they can actually grow, one, that they think will stop their drugs then from being blocked from getting in and taking care of this symptom. Well, of course, all of their time is wasted, but they put this out to try to get grants to go ahead and do the proper research. In Genesis, I've got a copy of the King James Version here, but in Genesis, look at Matthew 24 first. Matthew 24. Matthew 24. And look at verse 5. Now here you're seeing verse 5. Matthew 24, verse 5. Now, Yeshua, the Savior, he understood this, I know, really, really well, better than I do, much better than I do. And he was saying here in verse 5, for many will come in my name. That's the King James Version. Come in my name. And, of course, they say his name is Christ. Well, they're actually against. That word is actually against, as I've proven and shown in many books already. Verse 7, now here's your one that lays down on the job and doesn't take his sewage and bury it in the ground. And from that one mistake, he starts spreading evil, the evil of the gods. The gods are also lazy, very lazy. And they want pleasure, they're seeking pleasure, but they're not seeking the welfare of the people. So they're letting the people starve. Verse 7 says, for nation will rise against nation because of these false prophets shown in verse 5. The workers, the lazy workers that don't do their job properly. All these are the beginning of sorrows. There's the beginning of sorrows. We'll place that back to Adam and Eve. And Yahweh says, guard and keep this way. Well, of course, they didn't do it. So the beginning, the sorrows, they started following that, even in their own children. Now, this is how quickly it can develop. In 100 years here, was Cain, and Yahweh said to him, why are you angry? Have you ever thought about why you're angry, Cain? Think about it. Why are you angry? Your brother's not angry. Your brother is doing what? He's rejoicing. Now think about that. You got two people here. One of them got sewage in his brain because the preacher was lazy. And Cain was lazy, wasn't doing his job. So he got this sewage in his brain and his drinking water. Uh-oh. Abilene. Ooh, man, did you see that 4 million gallons? Of sewage water that's supposed to be going into the earth, burying it with a shovel? Well, what are we getting out of that? They're saying it's clean. The doctors are saying it's not. They're saying drugs are going into your sewage, into your drinking water now. But there was a doctor years ago that wrote an article on AIDS, if you remember that, and said the AIDS, the big lie. Well, it's talking about condoms, and it's talking about protection. And she is saying this stuff is not going to protect you. This stuff is going to make you sick. Did anyone listen to her? No. They get more money out of the pills that hide the symptoms. This is what their minds is on. That and their pleasures. You ever heard of the Vatican and the pleasures that go on there? That's what they're seeking, is pleasures. I won't say any more about that right now. But this was the beginning of sorrows. Many, verse 11 says, "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound." Now that's what we're seeing now in this generation, as Yahshua said we would. Iniquity, the doing away of Yahweh's laws. The taking your sewage water and dumping it in the pond or the lake or the rivers instead of burying it like Yahweh said. That's just the start. That's just an example of getting you to understand that everything must work in unity for a camp to grow and survive. And when it doesn't take care of itself health-wise and keeping Yahweh's laws, and Yahweh gave them the laws. Everyone had them. Cush had them. He just didn't want to follow them. And the people that didn't want to get in his crew, he terrorized and he murdered. What do we see going on in the world today? What do you think these wars are that's going on? We're seeing on the day's news that keep building. Well, of course, this is the end result now, when sin has multiplied big time. But he says, iniquity, because of this iniquity shall abound, love will go cold. Why are you angry, Cain? So we know that this causes anger. It causes anger in your body. And all the serotonin in the country couldn't help this, because you've got other things behind it. Serotonin can help if you're following the rest of Yahweh's laws, but you start breaking the rest of Yahweh's laws and trying to tear up and split apart the bacteria in the earth that is helpful and healthy to you, and you put it in a test tube and make some grow real rapidly and shoot it in a person's veins, yes, it will kill some bacteria, but it will cause a number of other effects to take place in the kingdoms of your body, just like penicillin does, and the tiramycins and combiotics that we have on the market today. For the message of the kingdom, and this is, we got another prophecy being fulfilled here, along with the earth mourning and fading away. We got this message being taught. Micah said, by the house of Yahweh, in the last days. Zechariah said, from the chief of the nations. You know who the chief of the nations is? Get statistics. Get the statistics. It will tell you. The United States is 6 times stronger than any nation on the face of the earth. How did they know that? How did he know, the chief of the nation? And he even went on and said, in a Babylonian land, nobody knew about this land over here. It wasn't discovered till 1492. How did he know that? This is absolute proof to me that Yahweh is in charge. He knows what he's doing. He's leading. He established his house. And you, brethren, are going to take all this sewage and you're going to put it back in its proper place. You won't try to be in hiding the symptoms, hiding where you put it. He has a perfect record keeper. You know, right up here, by the way, it's called the subconscious mind, greater than any computer. Someone showed me yesterday, I had some research done on a computer, and I believe it was 1965. That thing was big as a house, but it did its job, and the military was the only one that could use it, and they used it to make bombs out of. But that's the increase in knowledge that I grew up with. Saw it develop. I saw these prophecies develop. But you can read about them. And you're seeing the last parts of it, even if you were just born 5 years ago or 6 years ago. You're seeing the results of this right now. So you can witness to every bit of this throughout all eternity to the kingdoms, to the planets. Yes, the planets, they started doing wrong. The people, the beings in the planet. And this universe is a huge place. And we're just now finding out how great this is, this universe. And the beings out there, they need help. The gods need help. Yahweh says he counsels them, but that's not enough. They're still going the way. It's a huge Leviathan that Yahweh is going to turn around. And brethren, wake up. You're the teachers of this great kingdom that Yahweh is using. He's going to use. You're the light of the world right now. You're the light of the United States. You're the light of the whole world. They're seeing you right now through the peaceful solution, through the house of Yahweh. They're seeing you right now. They're seeing Yahweh's knowledge brought forth. And the letters that's going out, if you're reading those letters, you'll see how I brag about the wisdom of Yahweh that they're pushing aside. If they would take that wisdom right now, they could turn this around. If they'd just accept Yahweh's wisdom that he gave to Adam and Eve. They've already proven that it works. Science every day is proving a little more that it works. You know, but still they're pushing it aside. But I keep telling them we're getting our licks in, and there's a lot of people paying attention now throughout the universe, throughout the whole universe, not just Earth now, but the whole universe. They're paying attention, and they're waiting on the manifestation of who? You. You. You're it. You're the light of the world, and they're watching you right now. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services over to the next speaker. I love you!